Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Oh, we're going to stir you up here today. You know, when you have a beautiful weather weekend and everybody's out, you know, working in their lawns and helping at the church and coming to women's breakfasts and, you know, all the things that are going on, which are great and wonderful things, you know, sometimes it can just wear us down just a little bit. Next thing you know, we come into the house of the Lord, you know, a little slow. How many of you know we got to lift our voices and glorify God? Amen. It's so good to see everybody here today. We just welcome you to Family Church on this Mother's Day. What a special day this is. You know it's a special day. I'm wearing a purple shirt. Praise the Lord. And so, mothers, we just honor you. We're just so glad that you could be here. We're going to mention some more about that. Before we do, we just want to welcome those that are visiting Family Church for the very first time. We're honored to have you. We know that God's got a plan for your life. We want to get you connected to that plan. For those of you that are visiting here today, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor, and we just welcome you. We're just so glad to see you. We hope you come back, and we'd love to be your church family if you're looking for one. Church, whose joy is it to make sure that our visiting guests feel warm and welcome? That's ours. Let's welcome those that are visiting here today. Just so glad to have you. So good to have new faces with us all the time. Again, mothers, we just honor you. We wish you a very happy Mother's Day. I am so privileged for the mother that I have. She was with me in church last night in Erie, and I'm just so grateful for my mom. And my mom is one of my best friends, you know, in my life. She is just, you know, so special. I'm just so grateful for my mother and super grateful for my grandmothers, you know, who both, I believe, prayed me into being a pastor. You know, both my grandmas are in heaven, and I'm thinking about them today. And then most of all, my beautiful wife, who is just the mother of mothers, just wonderful job raising our boys and doing such a fantastic job. I would not be serving in the ministry if it wasn't for my wonderful wife as a wife and a mother. Just absolutely wonderful. How many moms do we have here today? Yeah, look at all the mothers. Let's just go ahead and let them know how much we love and appreciate them. We're just so honored to have you here today. Moms, don't forget that we've got flowers out there in the narthex as you leave. You can go ahead and help yourself. I wasn't familiar with impatience, right? Is that correct? Is that what they're called? Is there a flower called impatience? How have I... They're back there, I guess. Well, praise the Lord. Get yourself some impatience. If you need any more impatience... Go ahead. We are giving out free impatience today here at Family Church. Praise the Lord. So moms, we just love you. We honor you here today. Pick out a flower and be blessed. Enjoy the day with your family. Before we get into the word, I just want to mention a couple things. Hey, just to reiterate the youth camp. We are now taking registration for the youth camp. If you have a kid, now it's just a $25 registration fee, and the first 100 kids are going to be fully sponsored for the youth camp. Yeah, yes, that's right. That is exciting. We're excited about that. The only thing you need to do is have a $25 registration fee, and the child that gets signed up receives a t-shirt right off the top for the youth camp. So, I mean, for that $25, I mean, praise God, you get almost 4 or 5 days in the youth camp. All the activities, all the lodging, all the food is going to be covered. It's going to be awesome, but that's for the first 100, so you need to get your kids or their friends or whoever's going to attend, you need to get them signed up immediately. It's grades 5 all the way up through grade 12. If you need to get signed up, go ahead and join the Family Church Youth text service. You can see our youth leaders, Reverend Savante and Tiffany Boyette. Praise the Lord. Lots of T's in there. Praise the Lord. And you can see our youth leaders. They will get you connected. Go ahead and sign up to that text service, and you'll get a link for the registration form. Everything is high tech now these days, right? So you want to remember that. Also, ladies, thank you for attending the ladies' brunch yesterday. My wife did a fantastic job. You know, I heard there was just a fantastic turnout for that. I thought it was really interesting when we were announcing the ladies' brunch or breakfast. There's like a picture of a Bible and a cross, you know, and spiritual things. But when we start announcing the men's breakfast, there's bacon, sausage, and pancakes. And so, guys, it's our turn, Saturday, June 7th. And so go ahead, get signed up for the men's breakfast. Guys, we would love to see you there. And last but not least, thank you for everybody that served in the spring cleanup day yesterday. I know we had several cancellations. It was very difficult, you know, to get everybody together. But I'll tell you what, those that showed up worked. They really made the property look excellent. We thank you. Amen. Don't you think they deserve a round of applause? Serving all of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Who's ready for the Word of God here today? This is what we're here for, amen? We're here for the Word, to praise and to honor Him and to worship Him and receive the Word of God. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to Hebrews chapter 13, and we are going to go to verse 9. And today, I'm going to call this message, Grace is Upon Us All. Grace is upon us all. Amen. How many of you believe that? Yes, I'll tell you what, if that's not true, let's make sure that it is true. Let's make sure that grace is active in all of our lives. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been teaching a series of messages about grace and what grace is and what grace is not. And we've seen that grace is not a license to sin. Grace is not an increased tolerance of sin from our Heavenly Father. You know, the grace of God does not increase the tolerance. It does not increase God's acceptance of sin. It is not God saying, hey, go ahead and have a nonchalant attitude with Him. That is not what grace is at all. Actually, we saw this in Ephesians 2:8 through verse 10. It says, by grace you are saved. Is there anyone saved by grace here today? And it goes on in verse 10. It says, to do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. Grace does not slow us down with God. Grace should speed us up with God. Grace doesn't mean we do nothing for Him. Grace means that our heart is captured by His undeserved mercy, and it gets us moving in this life. It makes us want to do something to show our gratitude for Him. Are you grateful for what the Lord has done in your life? Amen. And then it will produce works, or it will make us want to do something for the Lord. And we saw last week why we're going to need this grace in these end times. The Bible says in the last days that perilous times shall come because men shall be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasures more than the lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power to change their lives. Folks, we got to be careful. If we're not, you know, careful, if there's not grace active in our lives won't change. See, we're living in a day and a time where a lot of believers, they want to profess godliness, but they don't want to change or keep God's high standard, right? And folks, it's a challenging message to preach when we realize, you know, what God wants from us and what grace should move us to do. But I tell you what, if grace has captured your heart, you will take great joy in serving God. You'll want to obey Him. Disobedience won't be an option. Getting offended and mad at people won't be an option when grace has captured your heart. When grace has captured your heart, it's going to make you want to do something for Him. It's going to make you a giver. It's going to make you someone who wants to serve in the house of the Lord. It's going to move you and inspire you to obey whatever God says. Amen. And tonight, this morning, see, I'm still preaching last night, right? Praise God. This morning, we're going to continue on digging a little deeper into grace. Are you ready for this here today? Folks, grace is so good. The end days are not going to take it easy on folks that have allowed grace to depart from their life. Grace needs to be active. It needs to show in our life. The Bible says, as sin abounds, grace must much more abound. Meaning, as our society gets darker and darker, we're going to need more grace to abound over the wickedness in this world. We're going to need to, you know, be active and diligent. We're going to need to be responsible and committed to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know it's not a message that sometimes folks want to hear. And when we hear this, this isn't saying that you're not committed, right? This is just making sure that we stay inspired. And we also make sure not to allow the spirit of the world to creep into our church. Amen. It's very, very easy to do. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 9. I ministered this verse on Wednesday night. This is not going to be a carbon copy of Wednesday's service, but I just need to start here again because there's a word from the Lord that I need to share. I need to be faithful to it. And this verse kind of kicks that off. It allows us to see why we need to say these things. Hebrews 13, 9, it's, of course, we know the author of Hebrews is writing to Jews who are being tempted to fall back into the legalism of Judaism, where they thought that they were okay with God because they were just going through the ritual and the routine of following the Old Testament law. They thought, well, I'm being good, I'm following the law, I'm obeying the rules and the commandments, therefore I'm just fine with God. But the author of Hebrews tries to stir them and make sure that they understand it's not about the rules or the rituals. He says this, be not carried about with diverse, or literally that word diverse, it means divergent. Don't be carried away with divergent and strange doctrines. Yeah, that'll preach right there. That's a sermon in of itself. The word divergent, it means that stray off or don't accept twisted forms of doctrine. I'll tell you what, the first form of twisted doctrine that exists in the days and times that we live in is a twisted definition of grace. That, you know, the modern definition of grace says that God just is permissive of sin. That's a false definition. God is no more permissive of sin now than he's ever been. He's just made a greater sacrifice to win over our hearts so we will move away from sin in our lives. Amen. You know, the divergent definition of grace is that God is more tolerant of sin. Another divergent definition of grace is that Christians don't need to confess their sins anymore. Have you heard this stuff that's being preached all over? It says if you're under grace as a believer, you don't have to confess your sin. See, that is dangerous. Folks, how many of you, even as a believer, have sinned against God, you knew it, and you had to confess those sins before the Lord? 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us of all this unrighteousness. And so the modern definition of grace tries to say that you don't need to confess your sins as a believer. Well, that is completely wrong. That is a divergent doctrine that is being passed around in these days. Now, the rest of the verse says, for it is a good thing. Everyone say, good thing. This is what God wants. It is a good thing that your heart be established with grace. God wants your heart established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. You might be wondering, what's he talking about? Remember how the Jews, they had dietary law? There were certain meats that they could eat or not eat. They had restrictions on how the meat was prepared. Remember that? When they could eat it, how they could eat it, what parts of the animal were viable as food, you know, all those regulations. See, what happened with the Jews, they just fell into those rules, and they thought, well, I'm showing up, I'm following the rules, therefore I'm good with God, but yet their hearts were not established with grace. How many of you know the same exact thing can happen to a Christian in these days and times that we live in? All of a sudden, we become professional Christians. You know, my wife has been talking about that. We heard Reverend Patsy Caminiti, she used that term. I'm not sure if she coined the phrase or not, but boy, it sure makes a lot of sense. The way I describe it is like extras in a TV show or a movie. Folks, do you know what an extra is? You know, when somebody's playing the role of an extra in a movie, that means they're not in the leading role. you know, they're not out in front of the camera. They're the people that are in the background. Do you know what I mean by that? You ever seen a TV show and maybe it's taking place like in a restaurant or on a city street, and there'll be people in the background walking by and sitting there pretending to eat, and they're just trying to look like they're doing normal things. Does everyone know what I'm talking about? How many of you know if we're not careful, Christians, we can just start going through the normal motions of what a Christian will do. We will be in church, we'll sing the songs, we'll pay our tithe, you know, we will go through the motions, and then we have no personal relationship with the Lord. How many of you know you don't want that to happen? The scripture says, make sure that your heart is set firm and established with grace. Yes. Grace means this. Remember this? For the last 2 weeks, I've been giving you this definition. Grace is when the resurrection of Jesus Christ becomes so real to you that it captures your heart, and God's character and desires begin to be seen in your life. Amen. All of a sudden, you start doing what God wants you to do. You start doing what pleases Him, amen? Because grace has established in your heart. You're not doing it because you have to. You're doing it because you want to. You're serving God not because you're worth it. You're serving it because He's worth it. Amen. Are you here today? See, this is when your heart gets established by grace. Grace is what delivered me from alcoholism. Amen. The resurrection of Christ became so real to me, I didn't want to touch alcohol anymore. And I'll tell you what, grace solidified and gave joy to my heart that alcohol could never give. You know, grace will deliver you from addictions. Grace will deliver you from sin. Remember Romans 6:14? Sin shall not have dominion over you because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. When your heart is captured by grace, it motivates you to move away from sin in your life. You know, amen. Grace will deliver you from being a liar. Grace will deliver you from being a cheater. Grace will deliver you from a pornography addiction. You know, grace will deliver you from anything that dishonors God. Amen. Are you here today? But if we're not careful, we will be like these Jews. We're just going through the motions. When really the Bible says, make sure your heart is established with grace. Make sure God's mercy has captured your heart so much that it makes you want to live a life of gratitude. Amen. See, someone who's an extra in a movie, they're just in the background. They're not playing any significant role in that movie or that TV show. If we're not careful, Christians will become like a TV extra. We're just in the background. And what I'm not talking about everyone, you know, not everyone's going to be called to the pulpit. Not everyone's going to be standing on the platform. But all of us are called to do something significant in the body of Christ. Amen. And that significant thing, it might be behind the scenes, so to speak, but you're still playing a significant role. I want to be given a divine assignment. You know, when there's an opportunity to serve in the house of God, I want to serve. I want to play a significant role in the house of God. You know, I want to be a significant giver, you know. Praise the Lord. I want, you know, God to, you know, put it on my heart to pray for somebody. I want to pray for my brothers and sisters. I want to build the church of the living God. Amen. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. See, people that are in, you know, involved with the Lord, they're captured by grace. They want to build what God is building. They want to be right in the middle of what God is doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. That means I want to serve. I want to give. I want to bring souls into the kingdom. I want to bring souls into my local church. Glory to God. The youth camp, where is that coming from? It's being led by grace. These church services are being led by grace. When you're you know, motivated to go just be a blessing to somebody in need, that's grace operating in your life. You know, when you sign up to serve in the local church, that's grace. The people that showed up and worked on the property yesterday, what is that? Grace. Amen. Amen. Just constantly driven to do something for the Lord. Amen. And we don't want to be an extra, just somebody who's pretending to do something normal, and that's all we do. Folks, let's get into the midst of what God is building and what God is doing. Amen. I want to play a real role. I told myself years ago, I didn't want to be an extra. I want to have real assignments. I want to be in the middle of building the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Our hearts need to be established in grace if we're going to end up playing a significant role for the Lord. Are you here today? And now this is why I've said all of that, because here is what the Lord has given me to say today. He spoke this to me earlier this week. I shared it on Wednesday night here in the Jamestown Church. I shared it last night in our Erie Church. And so I'm just being a faithful messenger to deliver this message. You will know if it applies to you. It should all apply to us in some form or fashion. But this is what the Lord would have me to say to you. The Lord has a more significant role for you to play in the body of Christ. But there is a hold up or a delay. And that hindrance or that delay is coming from the area of spiritual excellence. There will not be any forward progress in the area that you are called to until you've confronted the lack of spiritual excellence in some areas of your life. Wow, that sounds like a correction from the Lord. But actually what that is the mercy of God. God is not going to allow us to move into things until we're fully prepared for them. Folks, if we move into callings and things that God has us to do, if we do so prematurely, we're going to get hurt. And God does not want us to get hurt. Folks, this is not God saying that every T has to be crossed and I has to be dotted in your life. Folks, every single one of us will know where we're not carrying our weight with God, so to speak. Oh, it's getting quiet in here today. Folks, God loves you. He says he wants you to play a more significant role in the body of Christ. He wants you to take a look and judge any areas that we're lacking spiritual excellence. And there's not going to be any more forward progress until we've confronted some of those things. Amen. God doesn't want you getting into something prematurely and then getting hurt as a result of it. And now we're going to move forward with three things today. Are you ready? Whoa, boy, this side seemed a little bit more ready. Are you ready for three things that grace will do to help you play a greater role for God? I'll tell you what, when I stand before the Lord, I want him to show me souls that are in the kingdom of God because of my faithfulness. I want him to show us as a church souls that are in heaven forever because we decided to be faithful. Amen. This message, this series of messages is really just meant to stir up our hearts to get us moving for God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here's what we need to know. Three things about grace. Go with me to 2 Peter. It's just a few pages away from Hebrews 13. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, are you excited about the Word of God here today? I'm going to keep stirring you because I can tell when folks are receiving and some folks aren't receiving. We got to make sure to get a hold of this. Go to 2 Peter. Go to chapter 3. And go to verse 17. Folks, here's the number one thing you need to know about grace if you're going to play a more significant role for God. Number one, grace grows. Amen. Grace grows, or should always be growing. This is how I wrote it in my notes, because this is what hit my heart when I was meditating on this message. I wrote this down: grace grows, it does not stagnate. Folks, have you ever felt stagnant in your spiritual life? Have you ever felt slow or indifferent spiritually? I guess we don't have any real human beings here today. Folks, have you ever gone through a time or a trial where you just felt indifferent? You felt spiritual lazy, you felt stuck, or you came to a point in your life where you realized, man, I haven't, you know, really served the Lord like I should be serving the Lord. Folks, if that's happened in your life, I've got good news for you. You're normal. You're normal. That happens to every believer at one point or another. But here's the thing. We got to remember, grace should be growing in our life, not receding in our life. And if we start to see that grace is receding, we've got to know that. We've got to recognize it. And we've got to make sure we stop the level of grace from going down. We got to start stirring ourselves up so the grace level goes up in our life. See, here's one of the biggest misconceptions about grace in the body of Christ. People think that the level of grace in your life is up to God. The grace level in your life is not up to God. It is up to you. People have this idea that grace is some kind of just random gift from God that he bestows upon your life to make life easier. Folks, I'm here to tell you, grace is not given to make life easier. Oh, Lord, I just need grace. I just need my life to be easier. Grace is not given to make lives easier. Grace is given to make lives more faithful. Yeah, okay. Amen. I'm not seeking ease in this life. I'm seeking faithfulness in this life. Grace is not the absence of trials in your life. Amen. Grace is the presence of God in you that overcomes the trials in your life. See, we get these wrong misconceptions about grace. Oh, Lord, hopefully today's my random day for God to just throw grace on me and make life a little easier. Folks, that's not what grace is. Grace is not the ability to just avoid hardships. Grace is what inspires you to keep moving forward in the midst of hardships. Amen. You can see the grace of God on somebody's life that no matter what challenge comes their way, they just keep on moving. They keep on serving God. No matter how great the temptation is, they stay faithful. They obey God. They honor God, even if it costs them everything. Even if it means they're greatly inconvenienced. Even if it means they have no friends. They will serve God regardless of what anyone else thinks. That's when you can see the grace of God on someone's life. People say, well, I just need the grace of God to make things easier. You've got the wrong definition of grace. No, it's not because life gets easier. It's grace that comes in and just makes you stronger. It makes you more faithful. Where all of a sudden the grace of God doesn't take away all the challenges. It just makes you more equipped to overcome the challenges or to feel them less. Amen. Are you here? But if we just seek life as something, we just got to have everything easier. We've missed it. Grace is not about God making your life easier. It is about empowering you to stay faithful even when temptations and trials abound in this life. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I look out there today, I see a lot of people that the grace of God is visible on your life. I don't know about you, I want the grace to be visible on my life. Because grace visible is going to bring souls into the kingdom because they're going to need the strength that you have. Amen. Look at 2 Peter 3:17. Are you here today? If you're stagnant, all right? We've all been there. Don't beat yourself up, all right? The devil would love to get you just beating yourself up. And please, don't get this idea that you think that, you know, you should quit your job and, you know, join a monastery and just pray and read your Bible all day. Folks, you know that you're going to have a real life and you need to enjoy life. Jesus told us to seek first the kingdom of God, but he didn't say to seek only the kingdom of God, meaning that there's going to be things you enjoy. Just make sure when it's time to put God first, you put him first. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy hobbies. Doesn't mean that you can't enjoy life. But if the only thing we're doing is just showing up to church and then going home and having no relationship with God, grace is going to recede. If we have no desire to serve him or to change in our own personal character, that means grace is receding. And the reason why the Holy Spirit would have me to preach these messages is because grace is receding in the body of Christ across the world more now than at any other time in history. And folks, I'm trying to make sure that your lives don't get hurt by this receding grace. Now, that's not God's desire. I'm talking about it's receding because Christians are less and less willing to serve the Lord. Are you here today? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I tell you what, you're here in church on a beautiful day. But how many of you know there's a lot of temptation not to put God first? But all of a sudden, the weather is beautiful out there. Look at 2 Peter 3:17. This is, in context, Peter is talking about Christians who don't understand the scripture. If you read the verses above it, he's explaining to them it's very necessary to receive the word of God and make sure that you understand it. And so that's the context. And look what he says. He says, you therefore, beloved. Do we have any beloved here today? Yes. All right, 10 of you raised your hand. I tell you, as a pastor, it's really interesting sometimes. Like I said, you know, when weather gets real good, folks, set your flesh aside for the next 2 hours. Kidding. But set your flesh aside, receive the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says, you therefore, beloved, he's writing to Christians, seeing you know these things before, you know this ahead of time, you know that you need to know the word of God because certain things are coming to challenge you. Folks, I'm here to tell you, life is a test. But the good news is, it's an open book test. And he's making the point, you better be prepared. Do your homework before the trial shows up. All right. He says, seeing that you know these things ahead of time, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Notice he's talking to believers who were once more faithful in the past than they are right now. Yeah, he's talking to people that start Christians who started to emulate the world. Or imitate the world. And all of a sudden, they were on fire for God. They were serving God. They had great grace in their life. And now they start to fall from their own steadfast faith. Folks, it's absolutely possible. This is what the end days will be filled with. Remember, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 3, it says, that day of the Lord will not come unless first there comes a great apostasy. Or the falling away of those that profess to be believers. Remember, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, the Holy Spirit warns expressly that in the last days many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Folks, the Bible warns us that in the last days, perilous times will come. Because men will become so selfish, they will start to, lower their standards for God. All of a sudden, they have no more steadfastness. Where did their steadfastness go? Look at verse 18. Look what he says. But grow in what? Grace. So notice this. A lack of steadfastness, Peter said, is because they were not growing in grace. See, when someone is steadfast, when someone is faithful to the hilt, that means grace is operating in their life. But if they're losing steadfastness, that's because grace is receding in their life. It's so quiet in here today. Praise the Lord. Everyone on our live stream is probably wondering, did no one show up here today? Well, praise the Lord, but grow in grace. Don't let go of your steadfastness. Don't let go of your faithfulness. Don't give up on your willingness to serve God no matter what it takes. He said, he's talking about these end days. Scriptures, Christians won't understand scriptures. They will just fall into the way of the wicked. Yeah. Oh boy, he says, but grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. Number one, grace must grow and not become stagnant. Grace will grow. Here's a definition of grace here used in verse 18. Are you ready for this? Here's what grace means when you look up this word in verse 18. It means the divine influence upon the heart. When the divine influence upon the heart is reflected in your decisions, your choices, and your priorities. I'm going to say that again. Grace is the divine influence on your heart, and it becomes visible in your decisions, your choices, and your priorities. This word grace here, when grace is on you, it is always pulling you and drawing you to serve God. It is pulling you to put him first. It is pulling you into prayer. It is pulling you to study the word. It pulls you into the local church. It pulls you into serve. It pulls you into giving. It pulls you into mercy. Grace of God pulls you into gratitude and thankfulness. Are you here today? It's the divine influence upon the heart that becomes visible in people's decisions and choices. Are you here? See, it was visible. Grace is acting in your life. You decided to step out, serve God, and be in church here today. That's grace. If you were faithfully tithing and giving here today, guess what? That's grace. You know, if you're praising and worshiping, that's grace. How many of you know you might not feel like doing those things? Grace is not what you feel like doing. Grace is what you're compelled to do because you know that it honors the Lord. I'll tell you what. You know, I'm not here today because it's my job. I'm here today because of grace. I don't pastor for the paycheck, right? I pastor because of grace. You know, let grace compel you to obey God. Amen. It is whose responsibility is it to make sure that grace is always growing in our lives? It's our responsibility. Do you see what I mean? People think that grace is just something that God might heap on you. You've got to choose to pick it up and to stir it up. Oh, I'm going to tell you how to stir it up here today. You know, we pick up these things. We obey God. Amen. We start to put him first and we pick up that grace and run with it. Christians think that God is playing eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Who am I going to put grace on today? That didn't rhyme at all. You know, but they think that God is in some kind of lottery. You know, we joke about it around here all the time when I talk about the favor of God. How many of you believe that the favor of God belongs to you, right? But Christians, they'll think, well, I'm only in God's favor when something good happens. You know, and I use the silly examples. You know, I got my favorite parking spot today. Favor of God. Somebody bought me lunch today. Favor of God. You know, bank error in my favor. Collect $100. Favor of God. Folks, favor can show up in blessings like that. But what does that mean? Does that mean that God's favor for you left when you didn't get your favorite parking spot? Does that mean when you got to park at the back of the Walmart parking lot, God loves you even less? Grace did not go away because a challenge showed up. So many Christians, they think, well, God's favor would exempt me from the challenge. No, God's favor gives you strength to confront that challenge and get over it. Are you here today? Mm-hmm. The divine influence upon your heart. It is our responsibility. Stop waiting for God to just give you grace. Stop waiting to feel like serving God. See, you will be drawn to serve him when the resurrection of Christ becomes real to you. When you see in your heart what Jesus paid for you on the cross, that is going to capture your heart and that is going to be sufficient for you to face every challenge in this life. Amen. This is what grace is. Yeah. It is our responsibility to make sure that grace is in an ever constant state of growth in our lives. Grace should be building in your life, not depleting in your life. And if it's depleting, I'm going to tell you why, or a good chance there's a reason why. If grace is depleting, have you ever found grace depleting in your life? Please be honest here today. Have you ever found grace depleting in your life? You ever just felt like, oh my goodness? Listen, I am ever aware, and it's not because God is condemning us or putting us down, but he's always, always making us fruitful. Remember what Jesus said? He said, every branch in me that does not produce fruit is removed. And he goes down to say, and that's in John 15, 2, and then in verse 6, he says, and every branch that does not bear fruit is removed, it is cut down and thrown into the fire. He said, but any branch that does produce fruit, I will prune it so it produces what? More fruit. Folks, if you're being challenged in your heart, be glad that you're in a place that'll challenge you. That is the pruning of the Lord. The prune, you know what it is to prune something? Oh, I'm not very good at growing things, and you know, I don't work in gardens or anything like that. But I know, like, here we are giving flowers today. I guess we can talk about this a little bit. You know, there's certain things, like maybe a rose bush or other things. Please don't hold me to any of my examples here. But it's when you cut something off that you literally will prune. Trees can be pruned. You know, plants are pruned. That means it's cut off. Something that's dead or dying is cut off so the rest of the tree will continue to grow. How many of you know the Lord's pruning you all the time? It's not because he's trying to hurt your life. He's trying to make you more fruitful. Are you here today? The pruning of the Lord could be God talking to you, said, hey, that entertainment that you're always putting yourself in front of, I don't like that. Get rid of that. Meaning if you have ungodly entertainment. Or if you have ungodly addictions, God's going to insist that that gets pruned out of your life. Grace is growing and always pruning in our lives. Is there anybody here that's still growing? Yeah. See, you don't have. The fact that grace is in a constant state of growing lets us know that none of us have fully arrived yet. But we need to make sure grace is growing. Folks, I can tell you as I stand here today, the Lord wants to use me in a greater measure. So guess what? Just when I think that I've gotten to a place where I can take it easy with God, he says, no, 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 I want to use you more. But your habits right here and your habits right here are holding you back. Folks, that's just normal Christian life. Especially if you're going to do something good for him, you're going to need to go through the pruning process. But if grace is depleting in your life, here's the reason why. Are you ready? If you're struggling to stay interested in God, if you're going through a temptation of indifference, meaning you just don't want anything to do with the Lord, you're not serving him, you're just going through the motions, you're just like an extra in the TV show. If you found yourself in that place that you're struggling to stay interested in God or to obey the things of God, it is because we are serving something else that is not giving grace in return. Folks, there's a lot of things in life that are not sinful, but they're not giving grace in return. All right? If we are so full of other stuff, if we've allowed our lives to get so busy, so full of other stuff that we're no longer, you know, being in church, we're no longer praying, we're no longer giving. If we get full of that other stuff, it's going to start depleting grace. Because, see, going to church adds grace. Yes. Being in the Word of God adds grace to our life. But if those things are all robbed by things that don't give us grace, right, folks, I'm here to tell you, grace is going to be depleted. If we get full of everything else, we will not be hungry for God. Can you bring up Proverbs 27 and verse 7? Are you here today? God loves you. Ooh, I'll tell you what, folks, as a pastor, I've been doing some plowing lately, you know? And if you're feeling, you know, like, oh man, he's really just stirring these things up and crashing through these things, that's plowing. How many of you know you got to break the hard ground? And sometimes as a pastor, in every church, there'll be just areas in life where people's hearts will have hard ground. Have you ever had, you know, stubbornness in your spiritual life before? I guess I'm the only normal one here. See, all you know, so many ministers act like they themselves don't go through this stuff. Folks, I'm just gonna tell you right now. I'll tell on myself. You know, stubbornness, or you just sense that, you know, you're going through indifference or whatever. I'm currently not much in a season like that, but I've been through seasons like that. And you know what? I see those seasons will try to come back. But folks, it's our job to make sure that grace is growing. Amen. Look at Proverbs 27:7. It says, the full soul loathes a honeycomb. See, in the old days, a honeycomb, that's like a piece of cake. That was their dessert. That was their sweet treat, right? That's what it's talking about. The full soul, or somebody that is so full of food, they will loathe the thought of eating even something very sweet. But to the hungry soul, everyone say hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. You say, Pastor, that's such a weird proverb. Why are you bringing it up? Because this verse is talking about grace. The grace of God on your life will make you hungry for God. And if you're not hungry for God, it's because you're so full of everything else. I went down to family church, and he told me I was full of it. Well, praise the Lord. Maybe that's what we should have called this message today. Don't be full of it, right? The full soul loathes a honeycomb. But to somebody who's hungry, it's not talking about food here, folks. It's an illustration. When somebody is hungry for God, they are excited about anything in the Word that's even challenging to hear. You can tell when the grace of God is on somebody's life, they love to be corrected. They love to be challenged. I love when God tells me, you know, hey, see that thing in your life, whatever you're doing over here? Yeah, that's great. Get rid of it. I'll be honest, it challenges my flesh, but it excites me spiritually. See, if God's just removing something out of your life, it's because he's got something better that's going to take its place. Amen. When you're hungry for God, that means the grace of God is on you. You're hungry to serve. You're hungry to give. You're hungry to be in church. You're hungry to be in the Word. But I'll tell you what, if everything else in life has made you so full that you have no time for God, all right, then even the goodness of God won't even be interesting to you. You will take no interest in what God wants to do in your life. If grace is depleting, it's because we've allowed something else to fill our lives to the point where it's choking out the grace. We're full on something else. Folks, lives, we don't understand, our lives get busy. You know, there's a lot to do. There's jobs, there's bills to pay, there's kids to raise, there's, you know, hobbies and sports and, you know, music recitals and, you know, all these things that come with life. But folks, if we allow life to get so full that now we can't even bring ourselves to obey even the most simplest things that God would have us to do, we've gotten full of other things and it has starved out the hunger in our lives. Are you here today? Oh, make sure grace is always growing. Folks, when I sense a lack of spiritual hunger in my life, that is, you know, the alert to me to stir myself up. To stir myself up. Amen. I'm going to skip right to the point here. Are you ready for this? How do we stir up the grace of God? I've got two more points here today, and I can tell you what, I'm not going to get to them all. You know, we're not going to get to them all. And so I'm just going to go right to the point here. The word grace, can you go back to 2 Peter 3:17? Actually, verse 18. 2 Peter 3:18, you're right there in your Bible. The word grace, are you ready for this? The word grace, literally translated, it means gratitude. It means gratitude. Are we living a lifestyle of gratitude to the Lord? Let's ask ourselves that question. All right. Here's the number one way that you stir up grace in your life to make sure that you're available to do what God wants you to do. Amen. Gratitude. Number one, be thankful to the Lord. and actively and purposely take time to thank him. Yeah. Folks, this is something you can do on your way to work. This is something that you can do throughout the day. This is something that you can do every time you pull into your home. This is something that we all should do. We should go before God. Is everybody listening? Yes. Go before the Lord. Get on your knees before him. Lift your hands to him and say, Father, I thank you for your goodness. Father, I have no idea in my mind, you know, all the blessing that you've given me by putting your son on that cross. You have redeemed me. You have washed me of your sin. Oh, there's a verse that's coming in my heart again. I shared it last night. It wasn't part of my message. Can you bring up for us up there? John chapter 1 and verse 16. Can you bring it up in the Amplified Bible? I love this verse. Is it John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 16? Yes, this is, this is it. How many of you know in the King James, it says that the Lord has given us grace for grace? Here's what it means. Are you ready? And folks, I'm going to ask you today if you believe this scripture. It says, for out of Jesus's fullness, out of the Lord's abundance, we have all received, we all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Folks, let me ask you, do you believe that? Yes. Do you believe that the Lord has given you blessing upon blessing, favor upon favor, yes, gift heaped upon gift? Yes. That's what Christ did when he came and went to that cross for you. He's given you all spiritual blessings in Christ. He has redeemed you. He has made you able to go into the presence of God. He has given you eternal life. Amen. He's given you spiritual authority. He's separated you from fear. He has given you the ability to rule over Satan. That's right. He's given you the dominion to live a new life over sin. Yeah. Amen. If you believe that out of his abundance, we all received and were given grace upon grace, favor upon favor, blessing upon blessing, gift upon gift, start telling him that. Folks, speak those words of faith out of your mouth. Say, Father, you have given me everything I'll ever need. In Christ, I lack no good thing. Father, thank you. You feed me every day. Father, you cause me to walk in strength every day. Father, you give me wisdom every single day. Father, I thank you. Your grace has captured my heart. I'm going to serve you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Go back and look at what Jesus did for you on that cross. Look what he did for you when he rose again. Think about all the things that your mind can't conceive. Think about the heavenly and divine favor he's given you. Glory to God. Gratitude will always stir up grace. But if we're not actively participating in it, then we'll go without it, folks. Now, here's another way that we stir up grace. See, remember the Bible tells us that God will give grace to the humble. And he what? Resists the proud. All right. So we're going to have to humble ourselves to stir up the grace. Folks, the Bible says, if my people would humble themselves and pray. The lack of prayer is a lack of humility. Okay. Ooh, boy, pastor, it's Mother's Day. Couldn't you just have read a poem? Couldn't you have just tell us something easy to hear? But folks, if we're so busy that all of a sudden we just don't pray anymore, I'm here to tell you, grace is going to deplete, or it's evidence that grace is depleting because we're not humbling ourselves. Folks, it takes humility to seek out his word and spend time in the word. It takes humility to be faithful in the local church. Humble yourself. You know, look at yourself, confront yourself. Amen. Humble yourself. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Did you get something out of this here today? Oh, I only got to preach about one third of my message. Folks, stir up the grace. Make sure grace is growing. I was going to give you three things, but obviously we just got to the first one. Oh boy, there's such goodies, you know, over there in Acts chapter 4. About the grace of God. Grace should move our hearts. Grace should be growing. If it's depleting, look at your life. See if you're too full in some area that's, you know, causing you to neglect the things of God. Did you get something out of this here today? Yes. Grace upon grace, favor upon favor, blessing upon blessing, gift upon gift. That's what the Lord has done for us. Amen. Amen. That's my message, and I'm sticking to it. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and praise you. Lord, you want to use us in a more significant way. Lord, you want to prune our lives so that we'll be more fruitful. Father, your grace captures our hearts. And it is through that grace that we put down addictions in our lives. It is through that grace that we pick up faithfulness and obedience. It is in that grace that we learn to love others. It is in that grace that we're not offended at others. It is in that grace that we're no longer selfish. It is in that grace that we serve in the local church. It is in that grace that we love to be givers. Lord, you said that someone who's hungry for you will be glad to do even the most challenging things. We've all been there. We've all been there where we don't want to do something for God. We don't want to be a giver. We don't want to be a tither. We don't want to serve. We don't want to volunteer. Or we don't want to forgive somebody. But Father, those that are hungry for you, even the bitter things are sweet. Father, those that are hungry for you will love correction because grace is upon them. Father, we want your grace upon us all. Father, you are faithful and good. Lord, I believe that you're speaking to hearts. Father, I believe that you're reaching out to this church and through this church to let your people know, to make sure to not let your steadfastness fall. Don't allow the wickedness of the world to get into your life and to bring your faithfulness down. Be faithful. If you're too full on something else, the Lord is showing that in your life right now. There's many young families in this church. Parents, listen up. Kids do not choose the direction of your household. It is the parents' responsibility to tell the family that we are a God-first family. Nothing in our homes should come before the things of God. Nothing. Yeah. We all have jobs. We all have a need for a salary. We all have need of income. But everybody, listen to this. Do not pursue business or a livelihood or substance or money or a paycheck. Do not seek those things in front of the things of the Lord. If there is something in our work that would make it impossible for us to be faithful to the things of God, you've got to address that. If we don't stay faithful to the things of God, but yet we choose the things of business and money making, and we're not talking because you missed a church service because something came up. We're talking about your spiritual habits. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, we know that you have good in store for our lives. You have fruitfulness for us. Folks, we could go ahead and rejoice at all that God is doing in our lives and what he wants to do. Thank you, Lord God. You are faithful and good. With all heads bowed, every eye closed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you received that mercy? Have you received that wonderful compassion that God gave on the cross? that God sent His only begotten Son to shed His blood. He died and rose again. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Even when we were lost and without any hope, I'm here to tell you there's a heaven and there's a hell, and the good news is that God wants you to go to heaven. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, if you've never took Him by faith, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess Jesus, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. God wants to save you. He wants to help you. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved. Well, then let me encourage you, get saved. Ask yourself, if today was your last day on earth, would you be in heaven or would you be in hell? God wants you there in heaven. And if the answer is I don't know, then you need to accept the Lord in your life. What I'm going to do, eyes are closed, heads are bowed. I'm not going to make anybody stand up. I'm not going to bring anyone down front. I'm not going to walk up to you. But if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. And once I see your hand, I'll have you put it back down. And then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can invite Jesus into your heart. If that's you, could you go ahead and lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here within the sound of my voice? You say, Pastor, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I need my sins to be washed and cleansed. I need to know that heaven is my home. If that's you, could you just slip your hand up real quick, high enough so I can see it? God loves you. You're not joining this church. We're not going to send you any materials or, you know, try to send anybody up to you. This is between you and God, but I'm just asking if you'd just take that one small step towards Him and lift your hand so we know that we're praying for somebody to receive Jesus. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Is there anybody else before we dismiss? You'd say, Pastor, that's me. I just need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want my sins washed and cleansed. If that's you, could you please raise your hand? Just want to make sure we don't miss anybody. God loves you. Salvation isn't Family Church's idea. It's God's idea. We're just telling you about it. Amen. Well, we did have a hand that was lifted. Anyone else before we pray, you just know on the inside of your heart that you need to respond. You know, I'm not trying to be pushy. I don't do this every service. You know, I'm just being real honest. You know, the Holy Ghost just spoke to me and said there's somebody else that's here today that needs to respond to this, and they know it in their heart. You know it. God's dealing with you right now to respond. Anybody else that you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I know I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. There's others. I just need to be faithful. I'm just letting you know God is dealing with you. He loves you. Let's pray this prayer. If you're here today and you lifted your hand, or you need to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, pray these words with us right out of your heart. Amen. Mean it. Be sincere about it. Let's all pray this together. Speak these words out of your mouth. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe with my heart that you raised Him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins, be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? Yeah, I'll tell you what, folks, let's just get stirred up. Let's put, you know, God first, not saying that we're not, right? But we're just going to get, you know, prepared to do all that God has us to do. Let's stand to our feet. Let's rejoice. Happy Mother's Day again to all of our moms. Don't forget to pick up a beautiful flower out there. They're waiting for you. Go ahead and scoop those up as you go. Everyone, have a wonderful day with your mom. Let them know how much you love them and be grateful for them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give God the glory. We'll be dismissed. Father, we just praise you. We glorify you. Father, we just confess your blessing upon each one here today. And Lord, we just give you all the praise. and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.